If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 50 this morning. Isaiah chapter 50 is a prophecy about the time from Jesus till the time when Jesus is going to return. So we're going to look at that this morning on this Palm Sunday. Isaiah chapter 40, I'll be reading beginning at verse 4. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me every morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Have you ever had the experience of taking a certain road, thinking that it was going to lead to the place that you want to go, and only end up someplace completely different? I've taken a few back roads around here, folks, that I thought for sure was going to lead back home. And they didn't. I read a story about a group of prisoners in Mexico who had a similar experience. It's in November of 1975, and this group of 75 prisoners from this prison in northern Mexico decided that they were going to dig a tunnel underneath and come up on the wall on the other side, just outside of the prison wall. So they worked at it and worked at it. April of 1976, they finally broke ground. And they came up in the courthouse where all of them had once been. The judge, being surprised, of course, to see this group of prisoners come up in, sent them right back to prison. And, you know, this misadventure kind of reminds me of Palm Sunday and the experience of Jesus. We know the story pretty well if you've been in church for any length of time. And in fact, I think sometimes we know it so well that we're tempted to think about it in wrong terms. We think about it like the people did in Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. They thought they knew where Jesus was taking them. But in reality, they were on a different road that led to a different destination. And as we're going to find out this morning, the road that we are on is not necessarily one that we welcome. The crowds that lined the road that first Palm Sunday, they were ready for a change. The oppressive Roman government that they were under made everyone anxious for some relief. It kind of reminded the Jewish people of their enslavement at the hands of the Pharaoh, of the Egyptians, particularly because it was Passover week. And so there was this excitement in the air for everyone. Homes were being prepared for the Passover feast that would take place on Thursday. Visitors were streaming into town. Hotels were all booked. The restaurants were packed. The meal that would be celebrated was celebrated with the Jews since the time of Moses, and it commemorated that time when Israel was delivered from the Pharaoh in Egypt. Moses, you remember, as we're looking at the book of Exodus, was chosen to lead God's people out of captivity. And he had instructed the people of Israel to gather their possessions in hand, to put all the valuables that they had in their knapsack, grab a hold of their walking stick, get it in hand, get it ready to travel fast and light. And God then instructed them to put the blood of clean lambs on the doorpost and await for God to deliver them. And then the deliverance comes very swiftly. The death angel passed over Egypt and took from the households of the Egyptians their firstborn. You could hear anguish cries all through the land as parents were mourning the loss of their child. Through this, the will of the Egyptians was defeated. Their resistance to God was broken, and the Pharaoh relented and allowed Israel to leave captivity. But as you remember, it was just a temporary reprieve as Pharaoh changed his mind when he realized that all of his workforce was just gone. And he pursued after Israel as they fled from Egypt. But God continued to protect Israel as they fled in the night and they escaped, following the road to freedom. And on that first Palm Sunday in Israel, they were once again slaves, this time not to the Egyptians, but to the Roman Empire. And with the story of Moses leading their forefathers to freedom, foremost in their minds and their hearts, the crowd on that Sunday gathered to welcome Jesus to their city. Jesus was already popular. He was already well known by everyone. His miracles, his willingness to confront the religious establishment made him popular with the Jewish common folk. He had kind of captured the hearts of the people, and they were expecting great things from this gifted teacher. Now, this wasn't the first time that the Jewish people had looked for a leader, and it wouldn't be the last time either. But with Jesus, there was just something different. He was a religious teacher, but he was different from other religious teachers. He stayed in the homes of regular people. He ate with tax collectors. He spent time with Samaritan women of questionable character. He confronted the religious leaders and taught the crowds with these amazing and astonishing words. And even though there was nothing in Jesus' words that could have been interpreted as encouragement to overthrow the Roman government, the people nevertheless hoped and thought that that's exactly what he was going to do. They kind of saw Jesus as a modern-day Moses, coming to lead them out of captivity from Caesar. The people saw this fearless man, willing to take on the Pharisees, willing to even take on the high priest. So on that Sunday morning, when Jesus came riding down the main street of Jerusalem on a donkey, they immediately recognized that that is exactly what a triumphant king who was bringing peace to his people would ride on. It was very symbolic. And so there was this spontaneous cry that came out as, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna." The road to freedom and the overthrow of the evil Roman government was at hand. And the people thought, here in front of us is the king who's going to do it. Problem was that the crowd had made a serious miscalculation. They misread all of the signs. And now they would discover that they came to the exact wrong conclusion about Jesus. The road that Jesus was on was not the road to freedom, but to sacrifice. It was not the road to political power, but to humility. It did not lead to popularity, it led to death. It was not the road the crowd thought, but rather it was the road that God had planned. So too in our celebration of Palm Sunday and when we think about the road that Jesus traveled, we must be sure to remember that Jesus' path was not the most obvious or the most desirable. It is truly the road that is less traveled for those who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember that in just a few days from Palm Sunday, following his triumphal entry, Jesus would be betrayed. Jesus would be arrested. He would be tortured. He would be humiliated. He would eventually be killed. We need to remember that some in the crowd who were shouting Hosanna on Sunday also cried, "Kill him," on Friday. This was the road that Jesus walked. It was the path of humility, of love, of peace, of hope, and of course, of salvation. And we know that Jesus did nothing but good. He relieved suffering. He brought comfort to those who were mourning. He ate with sinners. He healed the sick. He received for all of his good a cruel death on the cross of Calvary. This is the road that he traveled on that first Palm Sunday through the main street of Jerusalem. And for those who call Jesus Savior and Lord, we travel that same road leading to that same destination. In just a few moments, I'm going to share with you from the prophecy that I read from Isaiah, four gifts that God has given to us to sustain us on our journey of faith, on this road less traveled. But before I do, I want to reflect a little bit more upon the crowd on that first Palm Sunday. Thursday was Passover, and the people were pretty restless. The overthrow of the government hadn't happened, and they were sure that it was going to happen. In fact, Jesus was holed up in some rented room with just his disciples, sharing the Passover meal with them just like any other year. Their hope from Roman tyranny was just a pipe dream. And they were confused, they were fearful, they were even angry. And they were angry enough to turn on Jesus. It seems like they reached a conclusion on that Thursday, that if Jesus wasn't going to be our king, then let's just get rid of him altogether. And when the crowd turned on Jesus, Jesus remained on the road that was laid out for him by his heavenly Father. Even when the crowd was shouting and changing their tune from joy to judgment, Jesus didn't flinch. When the mood of the mob switched from adoration to accusation, Jesus kept his eyes firmly on the path that God led him on. And when that road became rough or steep or lonely or dangerous, Jesus kept going on. That Sunday, from the Main Street ticker tape parade all the way through the halls of the Roman and the Jewish courts to the hill on outside of the city called Golgotha. And Jesus walked a road whose destination was no surprise. That journey led him to the cross. On this walk of faith, following in the footsteps of Jesus, we walk. And we're reminded from the book of Isaiah four truths to get us through that time. It is the same truths that sustained Jesus on his journey. And if we apply them to our lives, it will sustain us through life's struggles and the difficulties we encounter on this road less traveled. Well, the first truth is that God gives us in Isaiah is that the word sustains us. Look in verse 4 of Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. God gives us a word that sustains. On our journey of faith, we have people who God places in our lives to instruct us, to help us, to encourage us. When we struggle with discouragement, and we all do, or when we face overwhelming circumstances, and we have or we will, God provides words to sustain us through his people. Isaiah encouraged Israel with these words in chapter 35, verses 3 and 4. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those who are fearful, who have fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. The writer of Hebrews encourages Jewish believers with similar words in Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13. It says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. So how are your arms today? How about your knees? How about that path? Is it kind of, you know, looking like this to you? Impossible to climb? In our journey of faith, look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, for words of comfort to sustain you through the dangerous and difficult path as we follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, the second help, the second truth that God gives us is that he opens our spiritual ears to hear his words of encouragement. It says in verse 4, he awakens me morning by morning. Wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. On the road less traveled, who are you listening to? Are you listening to the fickle crowd who shouts Hosanna on one day and 4 days later kill him? Or perhaps you're listening to yourself. You recognize that your own wisdom and your own knowledge that you have accumulated over your lifetime is good enough. Yeah, good luck with that. Well, God reminds us this morning that he has given to us a better provision through his words spoken and understood through your own ears. Quoting Isaiah, Jesus said this to his disciples in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14. He said, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn. And God says, I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Isaiah invites us to pray that God will open our ears so that we may hear his voice speaking through people that he has sent to accompany us on our journey of faith. Perhaps you're tempted to join the crowd. It certainly is an easier path. And I can assure you, you're going to have lots of company on that journey. Perhaps this morning you're just kind of weary of the journey and the battles that you face along the way. If you will just ask God, if you will just ask God, he will quiet your heart. He will open your spiritual ears so that you can hear his voice of encouragement, his voice of support. Isaiah reminded us that this is a daily promise from God to us, his children. Well, the third truth that God gives to us is that he provides humility and a desire to listen to his word and his will. Isaiah says in verse 5, "The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back." Our ability to not rebel, our ability to not run away from God as he reveals his will to us, is completely an act of God in our lives. Because left on our own, even as God's redeemed children, we struggle with going our way and believing that we know better than God. We have a natural tendency to be the Lord of our own lives, and we struggle to submit to the will of others, even God. But hearing, truly hearing from God, leads us to willingly submit to his word and his will in our lives. Think of it. When we know, when we are convinced the God of the universe, the Savior of our lives, the lover of our souls, cares enough to speak directly into our lives, it is so much easier. It should cause us to submit and obey what he has for us. The knowledge that we have that Jesus died for us should motivate us to live for him. But far too often in our lives, we find ourselves living for ourselves. So God says to us, he provides us with a gift of heart humility that leads to a submissive will in our lives. Now, this gift is particularly helpful to us in times of trouble. We tend to, what I say, turtle in times of trouble, you know, kind of pull into our shell and just hoping that we can survive this onslaught that's coming our way. And if we can't do that, we try to avoid pain and difficulty at all costs. And so we turn inward and rely upon the only thing that we think of that we can count on. Me. Not you. I mean, for me, it's me. For you, it's you. And when we do this, we miss the gift of God that he gives to us on our journey of faith. The ability that he gives to us to listen and to obey his specific words of instruction given specifically for you. In times of weariness on our journey of faith, we get discouraged and we even feel like giving up sometimes. We say to ourselves, you know, the cost is just too great. The road is too hard. The obstacles that I face are too big. And the path is lonely and it's tough, it's difficult. But let me remind you of the obvious. We follow the path of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I agree. I would prefer the ticker tape parade part rather than the torture and death part. But they are both part of the road less traveled. This is the road that each one of us is on if we have placed our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. On this sometimes difficult road, God provides us with a humble heart, capable of avoiding rebellion against the path that God has chosen for us, no matter how difficult it is. Instead, you will have this desire to gladly follow Jesus, that you will gladly submit to his will and his wishes in your life. But if we are to do that, we have to have the perspective that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8 in verses 6 through 18. Let me read that for you. Listen carefully. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, because of that truth, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. But it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Well, the last gift of God from our text in Isaiah to help us on our journey of faith is perseverance. Linus once said to Charlie Brown, I don't like to face problems head on. I think the best way to solve problems is to avoid them. This is a distinct philosophy of mine. No problem is so big or so complicated that it can't be run away from. Charlie Brown, who has never been known to stand up for himself, he asked Linus this. What if everyone in the whole world suddenly decides to run away from his problems? Well, Linus answers, well, at least we'd all be running in the same direction. You know, it's easy to give up in the face of difficulty. And for all of us, to some degree, Linus' philosophy does make sense. It's at least the safe choice. But the question is it God's choice? Is that what God wants and expects from us as his children? As we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, let's remember that Palm Sunday is not the last word. Good Friday is coming. And Jesus stood firm in the face of torture, false accusations. He stood firm even in death. He did so knowing that vindication was coming. I wonder if the words of Psalm 46 sustained Jesus during that holy week where it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The promise of Palm Sunday is that Easter will overcome Good Friday. And there Jesus cries out on our behalf, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he declares, into your hands I commit my spirit. And in that declaration, we find hope. The message of Easter, of Holy Week, is this, that no matter the difficulties you face on this journey of faith, God is there to sustain us. So be strong and be very courageous, clinging to the help that God provides for us as his children. This morning, remember that God instructs us. He opens up our ears. He awakens us every morning to new mercies. He helps us. He vindicates us. And he is always near and on the journey of faith as we walk each and every day on this road less traveled. Remember, we're following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know this morning what difficulties you're encountering. I do know that all of us on our journey of faith, on this road less traveled, are going to face them. But I also know this, that there's not one step you take, one problem you face, one difficulty you will encounter that God will not be able to help you in and through. That's the promise of Palm Sunday. Let's pray. Lord, as we begin this Holy Week, our thoughts go back to that picture of you riding on a donkey through the main streets of Jerusalem, and the crowd just in adoration. And we think, what a wonderful picture. Indeed, it's an appropriate picture, for you are God. You are the Savior of the world. And yet, we know that Friday's coming. And you knew that Friday was coming as you rode on that donkey on Palm Sunday. Well, you also knew that Easter was coming too. So, Father, as we remember today the path that you went on, as we reflect on that first Holy Week and your journey of faith that was full of difficulties and struggles and just overwhelming things, we have the promise of your word this day that reminds us that you are there with us as we walk on this journey of faith, the road less traveled. Father, I pray for those who today are facing difficulties and struggles on their journey of faith. I pray, O God, that you would sustain them as they turn to you for their strength, that they look to you for ears to be opened that they might hear your word. I pray, O God, that they would look to you to have a submissive will to yours and not their own. I pray, O God, that we would grab a hold of the promises that you give to us in your word that sustain us on our journey of faith. I pray, O God, that we would seek not to do it on our own, that we grab a hold of that which you have provided for us that sustains us, that we might be victorious in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen.